Hello everyone, welcome to the Horse Business Podcast. Today I am so honored to have Megan Fellows Muller as our guest. Megan is the founder and CEO of Carbon Hoofprint. Carbon Hoofprint develops innovative and sustainable solutions for stakeholders in the equestrian industry. Hi Megan.
Hi, very good to see you.
Very nice to see you too. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm excited. I feel like we have a lot of the same passion.
I know.
Talked for a while about it.
Yes, for sure. We're excited to have you as well. So can you share a little bit more about your background and the inspiration behind founding Carbon Hoofprint?
Yes, for sure. I think the story is one that's pretty fun and you couldn't really connect the dots moving forwards, but looking backwards, it all makes sense. That I grew up riding competitively. My mom, my sister, and I all rode. I did the high nose and equitation, grew up in Virginia, and then I switched to the jumpers in high school. And I went to school. I've always loved science and math. I went to school for engineering. I went to Duke in North Carolina. I was studying engineering, trying to ride at a Grand Prix level and have a social life. I think I need to think too.
Yeah.
And I switched to econ, and I was going the big banking route, I think, is where school was kind of peddling people that this is the idea of success. And I did internships at hedge funds and was going into big banking, and I pulled the plug last minute. I want to be more creative than that.
Right.
So I moved to Boston. There are a bunch of startups there. I worked for an incubator called Greentown Labs.
Okay.
Which is a clean technology incubator. They have 50 different startups that were working on, you know, floating solar wind turbines and just all sorts of cool things. It was hardware focused. So doing the sourcing of companies there and got to see the passion of the entrepreneurs that were working on these different technologies. Became really invested in sustainability and the environment. And I worked with National Geographic for 2.5 years. So I got to see the conservation side as well. Yeah. And I never thought I'd be doing something with the horses from a business perspective. It was always like a passion and a hobby.
Right.
And I kept coming back to the horse shows and just seeing, one, how much of a bubble we live in from sustainability. You go to the VIP tents and it's still plastic water bottles that they're handing out. You see the plastic shavings bags that are there. And, you know, all of these barns and roofs that are big rectangles in Florida, why don't they have solar on them?
Right.
So I became, you know, a little bit of a consultant to people and answering some questions, and then wanted to learn myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I should just start doing this and help people who have the questions. So I think there's a combination of, like, it's my interests that combine with the horses and also sustainability. And then what I learned from Greentown Labs and National Geographic is, like, the community is what matters too.
Right.
You can be talking about conservation or innovation, but if you don't have the people behind it to support it, it doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think the horse world needs a lot of power and influence, and they can see it at the horse shows and at their barns, and it can go further.
Yes. That's so true. So talking about that, like, what are some of those practical investments and sustainability initiatives that Carbon Hoofprint has implemented so far to reduce those environmental impacts in our equestrian industry?
See, there's a lot of research that's been going on, too, of just finding out what the different verticals are, the big ones being energy, water, waste. And our major focus is on solar. So working with Wellington International, doing an audit of their electrical systems and saying, if we want to put solar on the barns, what do we need to do that? What's their energy usage? And, you know, that's a project we're hoping to implement. We have to see what happens long term. But solar is a big one. We've been doing water stations. We did a partnership with Hope Hydration for Wellington International last year. Sponsorship signage is something that we've been recycling through a partnership with a nonprofit in downtown Palm Beach. And then with barns, we're looking into just ways that we can implement all these other cool solutions.
Right.
EV charging is a big one. Just manure management too.
Yeah.
We've been focusing on big long-term project.
Right.
So I'm hoping to see those come together soon and that we can share a bit, like a manure digester that we're working on.
Nice.
Be able to take ideally all of the manure from Wellington that comes from Hunter Jumpers and the polo industry and horse racing to turn it into renewable energy. And so there's a combination of these, like, smaller things that we can do at the horse shows and barns.
And then the big ones, the big inside. big impact ones. That's great. So how did you see sustainability positively influencing the future of the equestrian industry and making that broader impact that you were mentioning about the community?
Yes. I think the horse sport as a whole, implementing sustainability will just put a positive light on the sport too. Right. People think of, you know, animal welfare sometimes and what can be things that they can pick apart and say we shouldn't be doing this, but there's such a positive influence that just even having this associated with the sport can have would be great. The longevity of the sport by having sustainable practices. It's like if you implement solar, you can have your power paid for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
So as the shows are struggling, some of them, to reduce their costs as costs are rising, it's something that can help long term. And then, as I mentioned before too, it's like we have such a strong community here, especially like a women, young women who want to go and be young leaders. Like that's something I think would be so amazing. Is how do we have them do it in the sport, but also outside of the sport?
Right.
Bring it back to other businesses or study it in college. Do a career outside of the horse sport there. So I think there can be inspiration from the horse show that people can take back to their homes or businesses and really spread it just beyond
the community and spread it beyond. Yeah, that's great. So can you share a success story or a specific example of how businesses and organizations within the equestrian industry have benefited from adopting those sustainable practices?
Yes. I think there are a lot that, it ranges from large to small. But, for example, like there are barns, hundreds of them that have implemented solar now, like one in Connecticut that I was just speaking with to see how it's going. They put solar in their barn. They'd have paid nothing because of different rebates. It depends on your state, what you have, it's tax incentives, but they paid nothing.
Wow.
And now their bills are nothing. So that's just like a success story in itself, that they were just like with low lift put on their barn, and now they have a complete reduction of those energy bills to their costs.
Sometimes they actually can sell it back, right, to the grid?
Yes.
So for FPL, there is a program like that, right?
In most states, FPL, Florida is a little bit tough on some of the incentives, but other states are incredible too. So it's, you can just be having no bills, but if you're generating more than you use, you can sell that back to the grid that other people can use.
Right.
So
that's in some states, right? Not in particular in Florida.
Florida does have that.
They have that too. Okay, that's really good to know, and that will overcompensate either what you invested in the upfront on the solar panels, that you can do.
And then from a show perspective, just some success stories also.
Yeah,
for potential sponsors to see shows doing this. Like there are specific examples of sustainable companies or sustainable minded companies that see the horse show start to implement these practices, and then they want to be involved. Like they're asking questions, and it might be a luxury electric vehicle company that says, oh, I see that you're starting to do sustainability. Is this a market for us? And now they're interested in sponsoring.
Oh, that's great.
So by seeing the different smaller projects that are coming into play and bringing it in, it puts more eyes on it, and it brings a new whole just like realm of sponsorship to the team.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that's really, a way to see it also as well, to bring those sponsorships and bring that awareness also into the equestrian sports as well. So what challenges have you experienced or anticipate to experience in encouraging this adoption of sustainable practices and in the equestrian community?
The biggest challenges I see right now are just a matter of like bandwidth and manpower, and also level of priority.
Right.
Level of priority can be because of budget or the manpower aspect. It's like, do we have enough people to look into this and see what the right options are? Or from a budget perspective, there's the question of, is this going to be expensive? How much do we have to pay for it? And when it comes to horses and shows and venues, the priority is to put on a great show. So you want to make sure that like horses are being treated well,
right?
You're meeting the rules and regulations, and you're making a fantastic experience for the riders. So I think like that is first and foremost the number one priority. So I think one of the biggest challenges is, how do we make sure that this is also a priority? And how do we bump it up to the level of those things to say this is something we should be doing? And I think we're still in an early stage right now for people to really recognize the level of priority. and feel comfortable to say we have enough people or we have enough budget to implement
to do that. So that's that. Yeah, that's definitely one of the biggest challenge to do that implementation and to bring that into the table. So do you have any strategies or how are you overcoming those challenges?
I think lots of strategies that can be put into play. The biggest ones that we're focusing on right now, too, just from learning over the past year, is like, how do we try to make these options for sustainability free, if not more beneficial from a budget standpoint? So using solar as an example, there's an option for you to pay for the solar system, and it might be expensive just because you're paying for the infrastructure to put it on your home. But then there's something called a PPA, a power purchase agreement, where someone else actually pays for it.
Okay.
You lease your roof space, but you get the benefits of being run off of renewable power, and you can get 5 to 10 or 15% off of your bill based off of that. So there's just, I think that one strategy of flipping the thinking of how do we be able to implement the solutions, but have them paired with something that is a free option or be making you money, like you were saying, of selling it back to the grid. And you can apply that to a lot of these different solutions, whether it's EV charging or the water stations. How do we pair that with a way to be sponsored so that there's a brand or something associated with it, so it's not just a cost? And then I think long term, how do we incentivize people to use them?
Yeah.
And it can be recognition of shows. It can be the governing bodies saying, like, we give you a gold star of some sort down the road, and really encourage people to speak up and almost be choosing shows based off of things that they feel are close to their hearts. If they care about sustainability and the environment, they might start to choose shows down the road
that are occurring now in that areas. Yeah, I know a lot of shows in Europe are starting to care a lot more about it too.
Yeah.
And here, I mean, we're starting also to implement those strategies.
On the manpower piece too, I think that's what we're hoping to implement more of also, is a lot of the shows, they might not have enough bandwidth from their team,
right?
And it's hard for people to just learn and become experts on this.
Because
we're a carbon footprint, we want to be the expertise that you need to do it very easily and quickly and say, this is what we think you should do, here's how you should do it, and we can do it for you.
So yeah, you're the professionals that know that, and they don't have to worry about that, because you will bring that in into their process and into their operations. Yeah, that's great. So what role did you believe that education and awareness play in promoting that sustainability within the equestrian industry? And how you guys, Carbon Footprint, is addressing that?
I think education is the piece that we really need to focus on as an industry right now. And we were talking about this for a moment earlier. It's just, you know, it's a little bit early in the game that right now you start to talk to people about solar on their barns or sustainability at the horse shows, and the reaction you get is, I've never thought of that.
Right.
Which is surprising, but
I mean, it's not on their mind.
So I think education is going to play a huge role of how we start to put it in the minds of people to say, these are some things you can do, this is why it's important. And just start from the beginning too, like, what even is sustainability? A lot of people have an idea of it, but how does it apply to the horse world? And we really want to dive into that from an educational standpoint. We've been doing a bit here and there, and like, our vision of starting it when I started Carbon Footprint is I was going to individual barns, and then the idea was to, how do we get this idea in front of as many people as possible?
Right.
And that's where I approached Michael Stone at Wellington International. They, wouldn't it be awesome if we had solar at the barn on the barns at Wellington International, and then people could see that, and then to them it becomes credible, it becomes something that's cool
and I mean, if they're doing it, we want to do it too,
right? Yeah. So it's putting it into places where people can see it, and then the world of social media and education there. That's something we really want to focus on this summer, is to create that educational content that people can start to learn about the different options and try to be a credible source for answers too. Because I think part of the challenge that people are having also is, like, they might have an idea of what solar is, but it could be 5 or 10 years old in terms of how much it costs, or it'll ruin your roof. That technology has advanced so much that we can
share that latest
level of education too. So
yeah, I want to answer some of those questions, and I mean, with that knowledge that you guys have in the industry.
Yeah.
So how do you approach the balance between sustainability and performance within the equestrian industry, just ensuring that they're both met? I mean, I know we were talking a little bit about that, having those sponsorship and that financial backup that will help as well.
Right. I think when it comes to performance, the performance has to be as good as, or if not better than, the alternative.
Right.
You can think about different options there. One that comes to mind, which I think you've talked to them before, is like Arena Mend.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Alex Carr.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to put in a sustainable option, it needs to meet the performance levels or do better.
Do better, yeah.
And so that's something they're really focusing on now, is just sharing that side of the story. And it's incredible what data they have mm-hmm. to talk about the performance.
Yeah.
That's something that I think we need across the board for the sport in general, is like, it needs to be better than the other option. It makes me think about the sustainable, almost like fake meat companies that are like, coming out.
Yeah, what is called greenwashing or something.
And they have like Beyond Meat or different options. But
oh, okay.
What they've said, just for people, like for buyers to consume it, it needs to taste as good as regular
meat, yeah,
or better. Otherwise, people won't buy it. Mm-hmm. So I think from a performance standpoint, it's like it needs to be as good or better.
Or better than, yeah, if you want to do the switch, then it has to be, yeah, as good or better. And yeah, that's a great example, Arena Mend. They do have research backed up to what the performance is. And also, I had several companies that are like that, like sustainable, that have research behind it because they believe in the product and they want to do better for the environment as well, and in the equestrian industry, for the horses as well.
Right.
That's what they were saying, happy horses and unhappy environment, happy planet.
Yeah.
So that's the entire wholesome approach as well. So do you have any ideas on how equestrians, like itself, riders to the barn stable owners can contribute to reduce that carbon footprint in practical and achievable ways?
Right. I think, you know, there's the two parts to it. As a person,
yeah,
you can think about all of the things that an individual can do from their home, whether it's recycling and carpooling and using EV vehicles. It's like, you know, maybe don't be the Taylor Swift type person.
Right.
Fly your jet and just thinking about the transport of your horse and asking questions and really like encouraging the barn owners and people who have more control over the things at the barn that can be done. Mm-hmm. Like if we collectively as riders can ask our barn owners to be making some of these changes, I think that's something that can be done. I want to be realistic and say it's hard to, as an individual, have your horse be on a specific type of bedding without having the entire barn switched around. So I think there are things that you can do to encourage that. Mm-hmm. And try to do it on a collective level. And yeah, it's the things that we think about
daily
mm-hmm. and how we can swap them out and make better choices. And when it comes to vendors and just asking and trying the alternatives too, mm-hmm. I think is something we really need to encourage the horse sport to do in future, is there aren't a lot of sustainable options right now for vendors, whether it's bedding companies or the footing and just apparel things that go into it. We're starting to see people trying out sustainable options, but I think they're having a hard time with the adoption because they're
breaking into it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so a lot of the people that I have talked to that have that sustainable solution or sustainable different type of products, it's hard to break into a community that is used to the same,
right?
And they're loyal to their brands too.
Right.
You see brands also like Ariat. I mean, now they're implementing more sustainable solutions and clothing too.
Yes.
So that's because probably the same market and consumers wanted that. So
right. I mean, so you could see it in the apparel industry with the horse sport, I think, is happening more quickly. And because you see that in the fashion industry too. I think the luxury fashion brands outside of the horse sport started realizing, like, you know, the affluent people,
right?
And they start to tie sustainability now with luxury fashion. And same with real estate. I think Sotheby's said that their buzzword of 2024 for luxury real estate is like green homes, sustainable homes,
smart homes. Yeah. That bring that sustainability. Yeah. Wow. And I know green is the new blue. Have you heard about them?
Yes.
And so
God.
Yes, God.
And just making those little changes. It's like, you know, what they're doing is so great and reaching a lot of people from an awareness standpoint to say, don't use the plastic water bottles, use a reusable water bottle.
Right.
And how can we do that as people daily inside the barn and outside of the barn? And then, like, that's one great example. And how do we get people to do 10 different types of those swaps in their daily lives? It becomes a little bit tough because then you get to the infrastructure of the barns that individuals don't have as much control over
unless you have the collective voice.
But yeah, it is.
And I like their campaign because it brings awareness of that as well.
Yes, completely. And start to get people thinking about it in the barn and associating sustainability with equestrianism.
It is.
You want to tie those two together.
Yes, and I know, they were trying to do also, or in the summer, I think they do a program where they do the recycle jumps.
Yes. I think living jumps.
Living jumps, yes.
And bring that in. And especially with the younger groups, like, that's such a smart way to do it. And we need to get the younger generations to be thinking about it because they will be the leaders of the sport in future. They'll be the ones that are influencers. And if they start to think about it, like, on small levels, big levels, I think they're going to be the ones that will start asking their trainers or venues and barns to improve and be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's one thing for the venues to say, we'll do it if we have to. They should be encouraged to want to do it because it's great and it will attract more people and more brands and more sponsors and lower their bills. But I think they're going to hear more and more of people wanting to
bring the implement that.
Implement it. And it's because things like Green is the New Blue that can start to encourage people to ask questions and say, why aren't we doing better here?
And to have that in their minds as well, not only in the back, but then in the front.
Right.
So what are those long-term goals that for Carbon Hoof Print? I know you mentioned that in the summer you want to create more educational awareness and things like that. So in terms of that, of influencing that positive change and sustainability within the equestrian industry and even beyond, so can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think one of my hardest challenges is wrangling all of, like, the big ideas of where this could go. Because I think one of the major ones that gets me so excited is this idea of, like, inspiring the next level of leaders in the horse world that can bring sustainability to the horse world, but also beyond. So I think, like, we'd love to be role models and be a platform that people can use to create their own innovations for the horse world. Mm-hmm. And how do we help support them? I'd love to create an accelerator program.
That'll be really cool. And you have the experience from Boston.
Right. Exactly.
Awesome.
From there, like, I think it'd be so cool. And we have so many, like, young, bright equestrians that are riding. And I call it the city saddle straddle that some riders, it's like, you have to kind of decide between if you want to go, like, a horse
career
direction or not. And I think there's a cool way to kind of combine those.
Yeah,
it's like how you be within the horse sport and still be riding, but design your life in a way that can be doing good for the world too.
Right.
And I just can see this being, like, a place where people can find a good home for their careers as equestrians. And I think long term that would be so fun to have the community come together in a way that will bring more awareness, but more solutions, like awareness, but take that to the next step of how do we...
Yeah, because if you have to leave out of somewhere.
Right. And we, you know, there are 600,000 barns across the U.S. or something like that. And, like, what if every single barn could be run off of solar or have their usage offset and just really think about scale? And so I think, long-term vision, it's like we could do it at the horse sport, but then there's also so many people that come to horse events that have their own businesses, whether it's someone's dad is a hedge fund or a doctor or owns 500 trucking stations. I think it'd be, like, long term is, like, how do we use horse sport to inspire all sorts
beyond
of
that.
Industries to do the same thing or do it better or use strategies we're using to bring it back to their own businesses too.
Yeah, to extend beyond the question and then to take it to those industries that are also in need of more sustainable solutions, like the trucking station.
Right.
So can you discuss the importance of collaboration and partnerships that in achieving that widespread sustainability initiatives in the equestrian community?
Yes. I think collaboration, like, I love that question of thinking about how we need it, because it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
And I think collaboration is a huge one, from looking at venues themselves and the number of people it takes to even bring one solution to the table.
Mm-hmm.
With a horse show like Wellington International, there are so many teams and they're all rock stars at what they do.
Yeah.
But it might be, you know, as an example, to bring together hydration stations to the show.
Mm.
You're working with not only the operations team to see where it can go, what are the site places it could go. You're working with the sponsorships team because there are sponsor opportunities that could go on them. You're working with the catering team because you're offsetting the water bottles that would be sold. And also sponsorship again, because there are sponsors that are selling bottled water. So like collaboration, I think that's where, as much as I came in and started this company, I'm like, I want to do these things as soon as we can. Let's make it as sustainable as possible. But it takes collaboration between all of those different teams to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make it as easy as possible and helpful to each of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
And problem solve to say, okay, it might take away from your water bottle sales, but let's put the cafe on the screens and promote people to go and buy more food there.
Okay.
So there has to be creative and collaborative.
Offset the negative things to bring them into positive. Right.
Yep. And then so there's collaboration on those levels. And then from like collaboration and partnership standpoint for major impact and scale, I think it takes partnership with the brands to come in and just all of the stakeholders that need to come to the table
right.
to bring these solutions to happen. And, you know, the partnerships can be between a horse show and a brand or a horse show and the utility company.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's many of those together. I think the partnerships that can happen are what can help with the high level adoption or mass adoption across the sport too, is to say, how we do this at scale. I think you can do that best with the different partnerships and just make it a win-win for everyone at the table.
Yeah.
And doing it smartly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, you have different, as you say, different people, different pieces of the puzzle. And also if you partner with other people in the community, that as well. So can you tell us a little bit more about your partnership with Wellington International and also the Sustainability Saturdays, right?
Yes. It's been fun. Sustainability Saturdays is like the first time that we're doing it this year.
Nice.
But I kind of mentioned how it got started with Wellington International, but I can speak to it a bit more that it is. I come down and I ride in Florida. I didn't used to show in Wellington until later on in my riding career, but it's the capital of horse sports.
Mm-hmm.
Where people come and they see the highest level of competition.
Right.
And I was working on locally barn for consulting with sustainability projects,
yeah,
whether it's
yeah.
solar, and then working on this manure challenge. And that got me looking at the horse show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were working with the horse show to say, how do we solve the manure challenge? And then we're like, let's just do a whole audit of the facility. So our partnership was started by saying, let's do an audit of the facility and let's create a strategy for moving forward to say,
okay,
how do we make this one of the most sustainable horse shows in the world?
Uh-huh.
And so we've been doing that for the past year or so, looking at everything from energy, water, waste. And that's where the solar has been a huge focus. We want to try to put solar on the barn. Mm-hmm. What are the electrical upgrades we need? How does that host EV charging in the future? How do we get rid of the plastics and just all the different pieces that go into it?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are longer term projects too. As much as we want to say,
yeah,
get this done in a year,
it takes time for sure.
It takes like a little bit of time.
Uh-huh.
And so we're working on that and just like hope to have that long term vision too of like match the level of leadership that the show has with
right.
the sport with this type of sustainable leadership as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through an expansion planning process at
yeah.
the moment. So we kind of need to see how things shake out there and mm-hmm. would love to integrate that into the future plans.
Mm-hmm.
And for this year, just while we're seeing what happens in the future and we have those plans rolling, we have Sustainability Saturdays because we want to think about the younger generation too that we were focusing on to say, how do we get them to become future leaders?
Mm-hmm.
And I have good relationships with a few nonprofits that are local nonprofits working in the environmental space. So on Saturdays at Pony Island for the rest of the season, we had them coming and doing like activations or pop-ups
uh-huh.
to talk about their initiatives.
Nice.
So like Manatee Lagoon, the Loggerhead Marine Life Center, Friends of Palm Beach. So just thinking about how we can start to instill that sense of responsibility that we should have for our environment with the community and teach them about it, teach the kids about beach cleanups and how climate change affects the seagrass, which then affects the manatee population. And so a really great lineup there, and it's something we hope to grow and feature over the next year.
How has been this past? You've been doing one, right, or two?
Yeah,
so far.
We did one. We hosted Fauna and Flora, which is a global conservation group.
Nice.
Really wonderful. They sponsored WEF for a week this year too.
Oh, wow.
So it was like the first time I started to see these conservation groups come in.
Yeah, and
sponsor the show.
Nice.
And it was wonderful. Like, we set up a booth and we got to talk to people that would come up and learn about it. We had a trail cam from one of their the wildlife camera traps that they have.
Oh, wow.
See,
cool.
The wildlife that's going through, and just really talk about the conservation work that they're doing. Alexa Lowe is the one spearheading that. She used to be a Grand Prix rider.
Oh, wow.
In Virginia that I knew. So just, I think that's where it's amazing too, is finding the
questions.
So have an interest in sustainability. And Georgina Bloomberg is involved in that. McLean Ward is. I think that's just awesome to start to see people make the connections and hopefully jump and make the connection too of, we believe in the environment and conservation. Right. And as equestrians, there are people's parents at the horse show that are putting billions of dollars into it outside of the horse show.
Uh-huh.
But how do we start to make those investments too into the shows where we're competing at and the, the barn we're riding at all the time?
Nice. That's great. And you guys were there also last weekend, right? On the Hunter Spectacular?
Yes, we did. So we did that as a little bit of an introduction to Sustainability Saturdays to say what it is.
Oh, nice.
What's the schedule that's coming up? And, you know, if people have ideas of what they would like to see at the horse show in the future, too, like, we want to open that up and say,
nice.
If you have a pony kid, what do you want your pony kid to learn? Mm-hmm. And be happy to just try to, like, implement that and learn from people. And if there's an organization that speaks to you or people that fits into the environmental education space, it's like, we want to give them a space to connect with the community.
So how can equestrian businesses and actually individuals as well, how can they measure and track those their progress in reducing the carbon footprint or So do you have any tools and strategies that, that you can recommend for this?
There are tracking tools out there too for individuals. And there are so many at the moment that I think people can go and honestly Google and find one that works for you as an individual. Like the Nature Conservancy has one. The EPA has one.
Right.
They're ones that are more fun and are apps on your phone as an individual that you can kind of look up what you're using and put in different inputs. And then from like a business standpoint, there are a lot of options too. I think, you know, we've been looking into them. There's one called Sustain Life, which is incredible. It's more of like the Ferrari of tracking, though, too, which for...
It's like super high.
It's super high level, and it's like, you know, what? How many shipments do you have? And we talk about scope one, scope two, scope three. Is, you know, the levels that certain businesses, the Deloittes of the world and the big companies, have to commit to sharing their information to some level. And like scope one, I think, is what people can start to look at, which is what you directly are using and contributing to from a carbon standpoint. Scope two and scope three is more even your suppliers and what are your suppliers' usage that you can be tracking. And right now, I think it's like for the suppliers in the horse world, we need to start to encourage them to think about tracking it. Because there aren't too many things that we can like input right now with certainty. So people can start to think about on their daily usage, like, how much am I using? How much am I recycling? Where is it going on the backside? And like explore some of these different apps and tools that work for you.
Yeah. And I know there is also that carbon footprint offset, right?
Yes.
Like you can purchase or you can buy some offsets or something like that. Like big corporations want to purchase that or something, right?
You can, and that's what a lot of different companies are doing. It's an interesting topic to think about at some point because it's like, is it true sustainability? That you could put solar on your barn and you're actually generating that, but
then buying it.
You just want to make sure that they're like those vetted companies that are create, like providing those offsets.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many tools that you can look up online for those offsets. And it
right.
could be planting trees or
mm-hmm.
sequestration projects that have to do with recycling and ocean cleanup. Like there's a lot that you can look up, but you as an individual
yeah.
can be buying offsets and as a business as well. And that's something I would really encourage people to look into and use. And if you're a business, you can start to market that.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of your business. Like if it's a sustainable business, market that to offset the carbon
right.
Footprint. So are there any innovative technologies or practices in sustainability that you find particularly promising, like in the future of the equestrian industry? I mean, I don't know, we talk about arenament, and there's a few more that I have already bringing to the podcast. Is there one in particular that you comes to your mind?
Arenament definitely comes to my mind, just in like, I love how they're going about it and saying, like, there is a solution that exists outside of the horse world, and how do we bring it to a
right.
problem in the horse world? And theirs is one that you just don't think about, like the microplastics that go into the ground from your footing, sustainable footing, and, you know, might be coated in silicone previously, and kind of went out and said, what could be an alternative to that? That's an organic material. And they're able to bring that in, and like, it would be incredible if they could swap out every horse ring that has microplastics and go into the ground, into the ocean, ultimately. And so that's just one that's really cool from a like nerding out material
science standpoint that I saw at the incubator.
I think the manure challenge is something that's going to see some really cool innovations. Just been diving into that.
Nice.
There's so many alternatives that can be made from manure, and it can be hydrogen, it can be carbon dioxide. You can have byproducts that can be fertilizer, coal turned into bricks. Like, that's really fun to see where that can go. And then the solar itself. We did the Consumer Electronics Show this year with my husband, Max, and we're just like, we want to see what's coming around the corner. And just so many things that can be turned into solar and used in future.
Wow.
That's fun. Like even panes of glass
wow.
that can be used as part of barn door venues, everything. And
solar.
Yeah. Wow. See a lot of innovation there, but I'd love to see more innovation in the horse world.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
I think there's cardboard shavings that some of the top level riders are using now to their dust.
I mean, that more sustainable, right?
Yeah.
The carbon, because it's made out of recycled carbon material, or?
Yes, and it just breaks down more easily, too. And it can be used differently for recycling. And right now, like manure with the shavings, we're just going to waste management and being incinerated and mixed in with trash, and what happens to it if it's mixed in with trash before it even gets sent out of the horse show. It's like being dumped illegally and not tracked well.
Yeah. And it's a lot of, like, especially like in Wellington, it's for a very short period of time, there is a lot of horses and a lot of manure. But I mean, I'm sure there is more solutions to come as well. So, I mean, as you say, we could talk this for hours and hours and hours and going. But yeah, where can our listeners find more information on you, and how can they reach out? Because I know a lot of people is interested in helping, or they have some ideas on how they can help.
Yeah.
So do you have like social media and everything? And we'll put it in the notes as well. But you can.
Great. I'd say I'm available for questions or ideas at all times. Megan@carbonhoofprint.com. It's on the website also, carbonhoofprint.com.
Right.
We're looking for demo project, like demonstration projects. If you have ideas, come to us with brainstorm. If you want to be someone that can implement these sustainable barn solutions, we have like different programs and levels of programs that we could come and survey your barn and say, what's a package that
might
be you. So I encourage people to look at our website page for that, and social media, Carbon Hoof Print, different social handles. And we'd love to just grow the following and grow awareness. And we're going to be posting a lot this summer, hopefully.
Nice. So. Yes, we're excited to see that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Megan, for your time. This has been wonderful. And yeah, thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We hope you enjoy it. Please remember to follow us, subscribe, and leave us a review. If you are interested in joining us as a guest or sponsor one of our episodes, feel free to email us at thehorsebusinesspodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram to get the latest updates. Goodbye.